Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, the Chupacabra, UFOs, aliens, Area 51, conspiracies, unsolved crimes, the supernatural. Are they real or are they figments? With your hosts, Colleen and Eddie Medina.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Figments, the podcast where we bring you the unexplained and the unknown. Tonight, I am your host, Colleen Medina, and with me is my ever-cute hubby poo, Eddie Medina.
Hello, everybody, and we are so grateful that y'all came out for our live show here at AllCon about Roswell, Area 51, and everything alien-related.
That's right, we're bringing it to you live from AllCon Dallas. Come on, people. Woo-hoo! Yeah, so how's everybody doing?
Good.
Good. Good.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah. It's good to be back. No. But yeah, I mean, we do appreciate everyone coming out. And today's, for those actually who aren't familiar with Figments, it's a fairly new podcast that Colleen and I do. We do cover everything from cryptozoology to anything mysterious, whether it's aliens, Roswell type things, conspiracy theories. You're looking over here. Colleen is a JFK conspiracy nut. And
it's interesting.
So, you know, anything else on crimes? We just, a couple weeks back, one of our episodes was on the Alcatraz escape. So we like to kind of touch on not just, you know, the paranormal, but also, you know, a lot of just unsolved cases.
Things that have actually happened, but we don't know quite how it ended up.
Yeah, there you go.
So who out there believes in UFOs? Anybody? One? Two?
On the fence.
Kind of.
On the fence.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask some questions here. What do you guys think, if you don't mind, what do you guys think the UFOs, you know, do you think it's extraterrestrial? What about aliens? Kind of want input. Ah, there's Andy. Late again.
Latecomer people.
It's
who?
Not my voice.
Anybody want to pitch in with what they think? Extraterrestrial? Okay.
Why don't you get the mic closer?
If you were in here, you would have heard.
I think they're extraterrestrials, yes.
Okay, so we have one extraterrestrial. Who else? Anybody?
Well, if you don't mind elaborating on that, why do you think it's so possible that there are life on other planets? I mean, because some people say just it's too far-fetched. I mean, do you have an opinion on that yourself?
Yeah, I think... like we're in this galaxy, you know, I believe there are other galaxies, and there's a very good possibility that there's life on, in other galaxies. That, you know, to say that we're the only planet with life is, you know, maybe it's kind of far-fetched. You know, I would think that if we're a planet with life, there would be other galaxies with planet with life.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
To me, that's kind of a...
Yeah.
You know,
it's almost, you're saying
logical.
It's almost like...
The universe is too big for us to just be, yeah, alone.
It's right. Almost like you're saying, I guess, if I may, it would be egotistical of us to think that we're the only intelligent life out there.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're very egotistical, so
oh,
I
know.
See that.
I can totally relate to humankind in that respect.
Uh-huh.
He probably believes that any of us exist.
Yeah, you saw last night, I barely got a word in. Wait, you were the one that grabbed the mic. What am I talking about?
But, yes.
Clark said that, yes, there's intelligent life out there, but why would they be interested in coming here?
To study us.
No, but they're intelligent life. Why would they be interested in coming here?
To study some people that are not as intelligent.
What's wrong with these fools that they can't keep up with us?
To probe.
Yeah.
To probe?
Well, I mean, do you have thoughts of yourself on that?
Carl Jung has a book on it, and he says one of the parts that he says is that it's one of the things that we do, we are order engines. Human minds are order engines. We take chaos and we make order out of it.
Okay.
You look at a cloud and you see a face. There's no face up there, but you see a face.
Yeah, exactly.
We make order out of chaos, and that's how we have climbed to the pinnacle of the food chain. And when we see something we really don't quite understand, mm-hmm. we make order out of it. And so we assign it to be something. Mm-hmm. Even if, I mean, the whole point is that it's unidentified. It could be a flock of birds that happen to be grouped together, but we see order out of that.
And exactly. Yeah.
That makes sense. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because it's a spacecraft flying around doesn't mean it's alien. Anybody believe in aliens? Oh, really? You want to talk to us about that? Oh, she's coming up. She's coming up, people.
She's with me. She will take that mic.
And she's taking it. Look at that. All right.
I don't believe that they necessarily live among us, but like you were saying, it's a very egotistical to think that we're the only intelligent life in the universe. And I mean, there's intelligent life here on our own planet.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in this room, but.
Oh!
I know. I mean, well, we've got the dolphins, and we've got things that are able to think in ways that we as humans can't comprehend.
Right.
And so there's, you know, there's no reason to think that we're the only ones around. I'm not saying it's like Star Trek and there's somebody that went around seeding the universe, but
wouldn't that be awesome if they did, though?
But yeah, I think there's stuff out there.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Lacey. You.
So do we have some questions?
We do. We had some people send us some questions, and as opposed to last night when we dropped the ball, which we loved, our audience was so interactive, we barely touched on the internet-submitted questions. So
we answered a few.
Let's see. What do you say to someone who doesn't believe in UFOs or aliens?
Why would you say anything? I mean, that's their choice to believe.
Exactly, exactly. But what I like to say, and this doesn't apply to just anything, you know, ufology related, but like cryptozoology or anything else, I like to say is keep an open mind about things that we don't yet understand, that we don't have the questions to. My interests lie more in the cryptozoology side of things. That being said, there's some cryptids where I try to look at the evidence of what people have collected. I look at the not claiming to be much of a scientist or anything like that, or even edumacated. Yeah. But I do try to look at the scientific side of things. If it's possible, you know, if there's a Bigfoot, then, you know, is there enough food supply in its area to you know, warrant that creature
sustain
there,
right.
You go, and, you know, and multiple Bigfoots at that. I tell people just to kind of keep an open mind and look at it from a scientific point of view.
What was the question again?
What do you say to a person who's a naysayer?
Oh, you love the naysayer.
I do. Yeah.
Every podcast, the naysayer has to come
always
up.
Has to go
and
off
the probing, but this time I brought
yeah,
that up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't even say anything.
We talked about, you know, Andy, you like this. We're actually thinking about having Figment T-shirts made up, and we're going to put naysayers want an A. What, you know?
Nice. That's,
but I just say, you know, just. You don't have to throw your hat in there and just say, you know, I believe everything that's thrown at me, but at least keep an open mind about things. Look at it from a scientific
Yeah, if you
want to
believe, fine. If you don't, that's fine,
exactly,
too.
Exactly. You know, for us, it's just kind of a fun type of thing that we kind of got into, and it's just something that we like to do, you know.
Well, what do you think? What do you believe?
Personally, and not to offend
one
way or the other, I'm going to lean more toward the egotistical side and say that I'm not sure about intelligent life on other planets. Not to say there's not life on other planets, and I know that's probably not going to be a popular opinion, but I think a lot of what we see on the UFO side of things is probably more man-made government experimental stuff that we do not know about yet, that has not hit the public consciousness. Just me.
Yeah. I kind of like to believe that they're extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Out of this world. I'm not sure he wants to come in here, the little kid.
Yeah, that's just me. Oh, okay. Diego asked, what should I do if I see a UFO? Run. But, yeah.
Yeah, take pictures.
See,
get your camera out.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And that's something we did not do whenever we can go into our sighting.
But, yeah. Well, we went into our sighting in one of the past episodes of Figments.
Well, that's
true. When we saw what we saw, and there was enough time span to where we could have said, you know what, let's get our phone out and take a picture. But number one, you know what? That picture is not going to convince anybody one way or the other because it's going to be so grainy.
Yeah,
so
we know what we saw.
But the other part of it is, and this maybe be a little selfish, but I wanted to spend every second looking at what I was seeing and studying, taking away everything I could about that moment, trying to study, you know, how far it was from me, how fast it was moving, the details of it, and so forth. That was just
You always hear about people taking out hold on just a minute. I see your question, your comment. You always hear about people, I looked down to take out my camera, and then when I looked back up, it was gone. And whenever Eddie and I saw our UFO, had our UFO experience, we saw actually three of them together, and I was just so in awe, just so mesmerized. I wanted to get my camera to take a picture, but then I knew if I looked down, they would not be there anymore. And so I think a lot of times when people ask, well, how come you didn't get a picture, you know, you kind of have to, unless it goes on for hours or something, then that's a different story. But this was just a matter of seconds. So you have to be understanding, and people, well, I'm scared if I walk to my camera, if I look down, it would be gone. And that's exactly how I felt. So I'm, you know, I can understand when people have that answer.
I was just going to make a recommendation. If everybody's got a cell phone these days, if you get an opportunity to whip it out to try and take a picture, that you shouldn't take a picture, you should take a video.
Yeah.
You shouldn't just take a video of the object, but take a video of where you are in relationship to freestanding objects that you can measure the distance between you and them, and then triangulate to the object in the sky, so that way you can project distance based off of landmarks, and that way you can lend credibility to what you're saying or what you're seeing, because it's, you know, it's really easy to fake stuff today, especially with just your home computer. So if you have an opportunity to get real landmarks into the image, do so.
And that applies also to, like, cryptids. Not to keep going back into cryptozoology, but, like, with Thunderbirds, a lot of times that's where I think some misidentifications come into place, because people think they're seeing a bird that's larger than what it really is, and there's been one or two photos and stuff. But exactly, if they can get that in relation to where they're standing, to here, to the that tree, to it, you know, that's a little bit better. Andy, did you have something like that?
I just wanted to add that even here at a convention like this that we're all at, 98% of the population has a cell. If you have a cell phone, it has a camera on it. First human inclination when they see something amazing isn't to pull out a camera and take a picture of it. You see it a lot here, but you see it staged. You see people stopping people and taking pictures. Mm-hmm. But even here, how many amazing, funny, cool things do you see just in passing, and then later go, oh, I wish I had my camera. The first inclination isn't, oh, I'm going to pull out my camera and take a picture of this.
Yeah.
If you have time to do that, chances are that moment will have passed. Right. So,
and that's when we had our experience, that's when we were kind of afraid of what was going to happen. Look, in retrospect, it lasted longer, 40 seconds to maybe a minute, but at the time you don't know it's going to be 40 seconds to a minute. It could very well have been 5 seconds, and like Colleen said, it's gone if you look away to dig around for your phone. And it also couldn't take video because the cheap camera phone I had at the time was no video.
Yeah, what is it, what do we call those,
Kmart?
Yeah,
there you go. I don't know,
basic function phones. There we go,
there you go, basic. Uh-huh.
Does anybody else have any questions?
If not, questions, anybody? Comments about anything? Any sightings? Do you want to get a little bit into some of the historical parts of things? Area 51, Roswell?
Sure.
You want me to start? Sure. The Roswell thing, I'm sure everyone is pretty enough familiar with it to where we don't have to go into like the whole sordid history. One thing about the Roswell crash that I kind of have a problem with is the alien bodies that they say they saw at the crash that were reported. The government said that they had a program where they dropped dummies. It was like a hot air balloon type thing where it was like spying. It was like a spy program that they were trying to work on. And they had these test dummies, and the malfunction happened, and these came crashing to Earth.
Why they were cold or something?
Yeah, and that's why they looked the way
That's why they didn't have features like, you know, human features, because they were these dummies. And then there was another project that a serviceman was doing, and he actually had an accident to where remember that?
Yeah.
And his head swelled up really big, and they wrapped it. And then there were apparently some reports that people saw him and were claiming that they saw an alien with a big head. And he was even saying, you know, my head swelled up, you know, three times the size of its normal size. But, you know, that's kind of, people, I guess if it's dark, but you know what you're seeing.
The thing about the, going back to the test dummies is once people started digging a little deeper into that story, found out that that actually happened a few years after Roswell. So that doesn't, you know, that doesn't match up. So that that's a kind of a weird thing to think.
I believe the Roswell incident was a cover up. I honestly believe it happened. I mean, it was published, and then the Army or the military went back and said no, retract that. It was just a weather balloon. Mm-hmm. And then Jesse Marcel Sr. was wasn't he in the bomb? Not squad,
He had a long history in the military, and so
he knew the remnants of a weather balloon.
Or he would know.
He knew that that's not what that was.
He knew the mechanics, earthbound mechanics, as opposed to something that we are not aware of or are not used to. So to discount his account and the other servicemen as saying y'all are too foolish to know what you saw, so sit down and be quiet. Jesse Marcel has an interesting story because his son, because his father's passed, but he's got an interesting story. Does anybody want to comment to that? If not, we can. His son actually described seeing the debris.
Andy,
please.
I went down there for the anniversary. I went to Roswell. I'll tell you one thing, the town believes it. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, they do.
But do they believe it because of commerce?
Personal opinion?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, I really don't. I can understand the slightly jaded point of view for something like that. But once you get past that and start going to coffee shops and actually talking to people, because people will talk about it, they believe it wholeheartedly. And when you talk to somebody about Jesse, either senior or junior, what you get from people were people that knew them, you know, whether they were young or old, what you come to understand is these people in the town were almost irrefutably honest. You know, the idea you get is that, yeah. And it's not a thing where, oh, no, well, they couldn't have lied because if they lied, they lied to the town, and then, you know, it would have made us look bad. They're like, no, they never, they were good, upstanding, you know, citizens. They would never have done anything like that.
Yeah.
So my thing to that is, regardless of what you read or believe, if you actually talk to people that knew the people, they'll believe it 110%. So that's my statement to that. Mm-hmm. Like, I was really kind of taken aback because I went in touristy, you know, and
you're just going to look for alien swag.
I did. No, I'm not going to lie. I did. We went out.
Did you stay
right there with you?
Stay at the little alien?
We didn't. But
did you see it? I want to stay there.
Run off. We went and got we went and got dirt from the crash site, like and put it in Ziploc bags. Like, we were totally that guy.
You didn't think to bring that with you?
No, I didn't. But I've got it at home. Next time I see you in 2 years, I'll bring it to you.
Yeah.
But when you go in with that attitude and you start going to like the themed coffee shops, like everything down there is Roswell alien crash Area 51 themed stuff. But when you start getting out of that and get like into like the Sevierville part of Pigeon Forge, if you know what I'm saying, the actual town around the mythos, the people believe it 110%. Like, it happened.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Something happened here. Whether it was, and what happened is a little up in the air. A lot of people believe that it wasn't an alien craft, that it was some sort of, like you said, some experimental, something that they were working on that they were trying to cover up at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But something happened and it was covered up.
But they don't believe it was... Oh, okay, they believe it was covered up. They don't believe it was a weather balloon.
No, nobody believes
believes
it was a weather balloon.
I think even the naysayers can agree to that one.
Yeah.
You know,
they say, nay,
didn't
nay.
Didn't they release a thing saying that it wasn't actually a weather balloon?
Yes.
It was a balloon that was used to detect seismic disturbances nuclear testing. And so... You know, it's easy to say it was a weather balloon. It was a weather balloon, and then you know, basically lie about it because it was a balloon, but it had specific equipment on there, and it's really easy to see a bunch of military people descending on that equipment to try to keep it out of anybody's hands as a cover up, because it kind of was a cover up because it's highly sensitive detective equipment. So it sounds to me like there's a lot of things that can look like. It could look like a lot of things. It could, but in this case, you get this opinion of spacecraft because you're in the middle of the desert. It's really hot. You're dry. You haven't had any real liquid to drink in a while except for alcohol, and you got nothing to do.
Drunk.
You know, I mean, They become spaceships.
Yeah. Well, and wasn't the first thing published on it an actual alien spacecraft crashed? So, you know, I think trying to cover that up was a big deal. It wasn't just it was something that crashed. It didn't come out that it was an alien crash, and then they tried to cover it up with something else.
I mean, we were right in the heart when the event occurred. We were right in the heart of, you know, theremin music, rockets to the moon, Martians coming down and taking over.
Yeah.
So that was in the forefront of a lot of minds in general. So when something like this happens, the first thing that happened was, you know, a small town. So the first thing that happened was that the small town paper got a hold of the story because there was three phone calls made or a telegraph sent or a guy drove up in his truck and said this happened out off a route, whatever it is.
I thought it was actually released by the military to go ahead and publish that.
Yeah.
And then they retracted it.
But it gets around town, you know, pretty quick.
Yeah.
Martians landed or Martians crashed, and then the next thing you see is in the paper you see a headline, you know, weather balloon, you know, unidentified, whatever.
Right.
And everybody freaks out, and then there's a retraction, and then they fix it, and then you know, Stanton Friedman in his Majestic 12 papers did a pretty good job of debunking all that.
Yeah.
Whether you like him or not, or believe him or not, he did a pretty good job of debunking the weather balloon thing.
Yeah.
He goes on to say some stuff that I'm not completely 110% on, but that part, the weather balloon part, nobody really believes.
Yeah.
Right on. For those who may have kind of come in late, right now we're coming to Roswell, Area 51. So if anybody wants to chime in opinions on that, raise your hand. We'll get the mic in your face, make you uncomfortable. But if anybody?
Do you think there's any correlation between Aurora in 1997 and Roswell almost exactly 50 years later? Or are you aware of?
No.
Aurora is just northwest of Fort Worth, probably about an hour away from here. Supposedly there was an crash there in 1897, and supposedly there is an alien buried in the cemetery.
Aurora! I'm drawing a blank. Sorry.
Alcon is getting the best of me. Yes,
we hit
the windmill and crashed.
Yeah.
Okay. So Roswell, you're
50 years later.
You're saying Roswell happened 50 years after the Aurora incident.
Some people
think there's a
points on that, but there's other than the fact that of the 50 years, there's not really anything. There's the descriptions. One said they said it was possibly an air balloon, which at that time the first hot air balloon was a couple of years away. But who's to say that some private, you know, person who was doing his own research and everything? Mm-hmm. It's. But there wasn't anything left. They supposedly the well that they that it there was a well that was built over it. The water that was drawn out of it for years to come was poisoned.
It was contaminated. That's right.
So yeah, that's right. They threw the debris, which seems odd. But again, you're talking about a different time, different mindset. That the debris was thrown down this well, and the well was covered up and buried over, and not to be spoken of again. Like
and
you said,
then also the. The grave where in the cemetery, they won't allow them to dig it up because at the time that a lot of the graves were made at that time, I think there was a smallpox outbreak, and they're afraid that if they go digging up the bodies, somehow it may contaminate again.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good point because
what you normally hear is that's part of the cover-up. That's part of the let's keep it hush-hush. I want to ask your opinion, James. Do you think it is the practical mind wants to say, yeah, it's chicken pox? What do you think?
I have a feeling that it's possibly something happened out there. There may have part of the. It's not necessarily a cover up. I think it's just the town. Of course, how it's lasted this long, you know, 100 and something years. Why would they continue to want to cover something up? I thought for maybe the first couple of years.
The government.
Yeah. Well. Actually, the city, the town itself, may want to get away from that stigma. That might be part of it.
Point.
You know, they don't want to be looked.
But weren't you asking if Roswell and that crash had anything to do with each other, or if we thought that they had anything to do?
If y'all, what your opinions all were, because a lot of people were trying to say that there were correlations, but the only thing I could ever get out of it was it just happened 50 years later.
Yeah.
It seemed coincidental.
I don't think that I've ever thought.
Granted, part of the Roswell story is that they took the debris to the Fort Worth air base.
Yeah.
But I think that's maybe
and the Roswell that craft is in the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, isn't it? Now
we don't know.
Okay. Yes, Frank.
Hey, I don't know. Since I came in late, I don't know if you covered this, but what's your opinion of? I mean, we're sure we've all seen the film with the supposed alien autopsy. To me, it looks fake as all get out. I don't believe it's real. I'm skeptical about that film.
Here's the thing. You got to keep in mind that a lot of times, my personal opinion is I think it's fake. But again, that's my opinion. Please feel free to have your own. But a lot of times with other things that are real, when you see them in real life, it looks fake. Mm-hmm. If you've ever had the misfortune of being at a car crash and seeing, you know, gore firsthand, it looks fake. Nice. It does not look real. Keep that in mind.
Well, just the incidents in 9/11 when those planes were flying. Yeah, that looked
exactly.
I think everybody
exactly.
was in shock to begin with.
I'll tell you the autopsy video that actually to me is probably a little bit more convincing is the one that came out of Russia. Mm-hmm. Are you all familiar with that?
There was a UFO crash in Russia, and they have it on film. We actually have it in a documentary.
They have it on film. The cleanup crew, the soldiers going out there.
You can see it's a disc shape, and it's partly
buried into the ground,
embedded into the ground. Who's talking right now?
It's just into the tree line.
Yeah, and Bigfoot was walking out there.
It.
And so these servicemen were going out, and you know the people that were critiquing the video were saying. It looks real. It looks like they were in correct uniform for that time. Their vehicles looked real.
Accurate.
And yeah, accurate for that time. And so they had some cameras out there, and they were trying to video record what they could. And so we, as the audience, never got a look, unfortunately, inside the UFO. But, you know, there were some trees, pretty tall trees, that were smashed down. And so that looked, in my opinion, pretty real. And then it goes to the autopsy,
well, before
which
that,
you want to talk about.
Before that even, they looked, okay, this is a story. Apparently, they think there were 6 reels of film. They were able to... even though the Cold War was over, they were only able to obtain 2 of them on the Russian black market and get them out, pay for this documentary producer, and get them out.
Which was pretty dangerous.
Oh, yeah, because they actually have footage of the guys going undercover.
Like a hidden camera, and it got pretty scary.
Yeah, these really shady Russian mob types that they got it from. So they only obtained 2 out of the 6 reels, and they know that because of the way the reels are marked. But they also had a film expert look at the film at the time, and he was able to see the stock of film. And I'm no expert in this area, but it was something about the way the film begins. It's some sort of markings on the film, and the when the film actually starts, and this shows like whatever Russian military department logo with some sort of code at the bottom. They went and did some research and actually said that all that was accurate for the time. For Russian military at the time, that was the type of film that was being sold at the time and so forth. The way it was, I don't know how they do it, but like the way it was developed, the techniques at the time, it all matched up to being legitimately done back in the 60s.
Somewhere around there, yes.
Late 60s. And what spawned from that was an autopsy video that came out of some Russian scientists. And again, they're in like this clean room. They're in garb. They got their tools out, and they have just what's a torso. They're opening up the rib cage. They're kind of breaking it open, and they're kind of taking
like
out organs.
Pulling it and
yeah.
And I think didn't they say that
one arm maybe was still attached.
I'm not sure if it was attached or not. But when they pulled the organs out, it was all just like one thing or something. Mm-hmm. But when you compare it to the alien autopsy that everybody has seen, it looked completely different. There was no head. There were no legs. You know that alien was all intact. I know the camera kind of fizzled out some private areas. You know, but and then they got the eyes and all that. But when you compare the two, it makes that one look even more fake. Now, whenever I was young, I wanted to believe it, but now it's almost.
So, did the government fizzle out the private parts, or on the? To me, if it's a government documentary, are there
No. I think that came after the fact. After the fact.
Because back then, they can't do that on the film camera.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the government would want to report everything that was...
Oh, yeah.
No. But going back to this Russian autopsy video, they were able to remove organs, and it was obviously being documented for the government for a purpose, because the guys were taking these organs out and they were showing it up to the camera and doing the same. They're talking in Russian, and of course, again, they had analysts go back and translators and study it and so forth, and they said everything seems legit. Everything seems to match up with what they're saying, the procedures, the tools that they were using. Everything seems to match up. Doesn't mean it wasn't faked.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination, anything can be pulled off with enough patience and research into what you're doing. But it is interesting. If I were the one that Frank brought up, if I were to allow myself to, okay, have that open mind and just allow for that possibility of maybe, it would be the Russian autopsy, definitely. There's a documentary out about it that goes into a lot of detail. I mean, it's like...
Hosted by Roger Moore?
It's not like 3 hours long. Hosted by Roger Moore.
Who doesn't age.
So if you just look up UFO documentary Roger Moore, I'm sure you can find out the exact name of it.
He is not an alien. He is James Bond.
He won't age.
What's that?
I think the more important part of the documentary is, why is this guy not aging?
Exactly.
What kind of alien technology are they using to keep
him? Exactly. Maybe he's an alien.
The same technology they're using for Dick Clark, apparently.
To me, whenever you have just a smidgen of something like that, it almost makes it a little bit more believable instead of just like a whole alien going back to Bigfoot, which I know that's not really what we're talking about. But whenever you – I mean, the Patterson – footage is a little bit different because that's just a sheer stroke of luck. But it's almost like whenever people have filmed something and they only see just a little bit of it, you kind of wonder, they took that picture right at the right time. And if, you know, like with these bodies, alien bodies, it almost seems more believable when you have just a small part, like that's all that they could recover or something, instead of just the entire body where you can dissect the eyes and just every single thing. It kind of makes you wonder about that.
Exactly. Are there any other questions or comments before we move into our last section of the podcast?
Everybody still awake? Anybody asleep? Raise your hand if you're asleep.
We're going to have our... For this last little stretch, we're going to have our resident expert on Hangar 18 come up. Yes.
Come on, Andy.
Mr. No.
You've already talked enough. What does it matter now?
Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Farmer from the hit podcast Hey Kids Comics.
From Ohio.
Please, walk up.
There's a rumor of some known validity of an intricate tunnel system under Wright Patt Air Force Base.
That would run to some various places that would be around the area. Places like what is now or was before decommissioning the EG&G nuclear plant, which was the mound. And that's where they say that a lot of this research was done. People that have been around for a while, there really isn't much to say that you guys haven't already said. You know, there isn't a lot that's known. There's a video that's come out of there. There are lots of pictures, but nobody's really saying anything.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think the underground tunnels are there?
Honestly, I don't believe it has anything to do with Roswell. I don't believe it has anything to do with any kind of alien conspiracy. I honestly believe it's because the mound was a high value target during the Cold War. It was one of the top 10 nuclear facilities in the nation, making it a top 50 target. And I believe that's why. They were actually scared of the Russians. It wasn't aliens. You know?
So it was more like for strategic purposes to protect.
Right. Yeah. But it is nice to believe that there's some sort of outlying conspiracy there, which is the one that my family subscribes to. That's where they're transporting the remains and any kind of alien technology back and forth to do testing, because they have the ability and facility to test at the mound.
Uh-huh.
Whereas maybe they didn't without a buildup at Wright Patt.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of that going on now. It's never been released whether there is a tunnel system or not. And if there is, I'm imagining at this point, it's probably fairly decommissioned, only because of the fact that the mound's been decommissioned now for 15, 20 years.
So they say.
But
if that's where the wreckage from Roswell went, don't you think that has something to do with it?
You know what's funny is that, unlike Roswell when I was there, and the reason I went to Roswell is because I grew up where I did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say where because I get yelled at every time I do it. But nobody talks about Hangar 18 in Fairborn, Ohio. Nobody talks about Hangar 18 in Dayton, Ohio. Like, even now, nobody does it.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to go to Roswell to see, because I got into it, because my dad and mom would not listen to my podcast to save my life, but they'll listen to yours. I guarantee you that. Like, this is their thing, you know? Yeah. And I was kind of born into the sci-fi thing from them, and then by proxy into UFOs and alien life, and then more cryptozoology type stuff as well. But my dad was always commenting, by the way, he, full disclosure, worked at the MAP for 35 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So I am not privy
to
any...
Wait, Andy, are you making all this up? No, because, you know, Mothman and...
No, I just happened to...
18, come on.
We just... this is like the next Jesse Marcel's junior and senior story.
But he never said anything. He never did anything. But he's the type of guy that would go out in the backyard when he had a bad day and throw his arms up in the air and be like, if you're out there... And
beat me up, Scotty.
Let's go. Let's go. But he would never say anything about it, if he knew anything about it. Mm-hmm. But whenever something like that would come up, he would always say, I wonder why nobody talks about it. You know, this is a theory that's out there. Nobody ever talks about Hangar 18, what might be at Hangar 18 that's from the area. You know, so we got to talking, and on my Great American Road Trip that I went on, he was like, well, as one of the things you do, why don't you go down to Roswell and see what you can't see, and find out what you can't find out and come back and tell us.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, there isn't a lot to say because not a lot of people talk about it. There's a lot written on it. Mm-hmm. But again, that's just pure speculation.
Kind of like Area 51, where a lot of people don't want to talk about it.
And you will get guns pulled on you if you go out there.
That's right.
Yeah.
You will. Even Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
When we went out there, me and my friend Perry went out there, and it's awesome because you got to go to the little alien. They got to give you a map. It's so hackney. They give you a map to find it through a bunch of cornfields, and it's all hand-drawn, and you drive out there.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know, everyone's cordial enough once you get to the fence, as long as you don't mess with anything.
Did the white truck come out?
We actually, when we were heading up the extraterrestrial highway.
It's actually called that.
Yeah, it's actually called the extraterrestrial highway. On either side,
it's not driven by commerce at all.
No. But honestly, on either side, there were like champagne trailblazers up on the hill. Yeah. That would track you for a while and drop off. Because it's a 45-minute drive.
Wow.
Yeah. Down to where you need to be. And you would see them, and they would drop off. And I, you know, a lot of it, I'm
cross,
like...
I just want to go and cross the line.
Don't.
You know?
Because that's what Perry did. And it almost ended poorly for everyone. Because he wanted to take pictures. So he got his camera out. And this is before real camera phones really came into it.
Yeah.
And so he pulls up in his big red Jeep Cherokee. And we get out. And we're walking up to the gate. And I was like 22. So it...
Young and
we
cocky.
Were young and stupid.
Yeah.
And there is the gate, and there is the, you know, what would be the Army mobile home unit with all the antenna on top and the door that opens, and a couple guys get out in BDUs and standing there with their M16s and just kind of looking at us. And Perry's like, is it all right for us to be here? He's like, yeah, as long as you don't come up to the gate, as long as you don't take pictures, you can look. You don't look with your hands, and you can leave. And like, all right. Perry goes back to. He's like, come here, and he goes back to the Jeep, and he's like, start the Jeep.
Oh gosh.
Start the Jeep. I'm like, Perry, what are you gonna do? Start the Jeep. He gets out with his camera, and he walks up like he's gonna start taking pictures. And they're like, we told you not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we told you. Mm-hmm. And the one guy went from M16 on back to M16 in hand. He's like, we told you not to do that.
So
just leave, please. You know. So Perry's like, "All right." And he turns around and starts leaving. And he's got the camera down.
Oh
here,
gosh!
And he just starts taking pictures and running.
I was about to say, "Where's the hidden camera?"
And I start
here?
Freaking out. And I'm like, "The Jeep's in reverse. Let's go!" And I'm sure the whole time the two guys that were there were just dying laughing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm sure.
I'm surprised they didn't fire off some shots in the air to really sell.
Oh, that would have been fun.
We never,
that would have been awesome.
Because we never looked back after that. We just kept going. Like, we're going to Vegas now. We're going to Vegas now. We're gone. So that's all I got. I mean, there isn't a lot. Like I said, I don't have a lot to say because not a lot of people say anything.
Yeah.
So I don't think a lot of people in the area believe it.
Yeah.
You know, and it is a very military-based town, too. You've also got to figure that.
Yeah.
Most, 90%, there would not be a town that I live in if it weren't for the base being.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, there might be some reverence at the time that just kind of fell off into nobody cared. you know, anymore, unless something comes back to the forefront, like when Ghost Hunters went out there.
Yeah, we won't go down that road.
No, we don't get that. This is an EVP. You can, at that point, a little bit of buzz came back up about what was going on for like a month or two, and there were news stories on TV and stuff like that, and then after that, it just dropped off again. Mm-hmm. Which honestly is kind of sad, but that's all I'm going to say, because if there's any kind of idea that something might happen, the conversation is great. Regardless of whether there's any formulaic proof, just being able to have a conversation about something that is unknown is awesome.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of why we do what we do.
That's what we want to leave you with, because we got to wrap up quickly, is, you know, whether or not you believe or not believe, if anything else, it's fun to just kind of learn something, read something, find out something, dig a little deeper. Just have fun with it.
That's right.
But, guys, thanks again for coming out and joining us for the live show.
Yeah, thank you.
And Colleen, close us out.
Well, when you're thinking about all these things, ask yourself, I'm doing it correctly. Ask yourself, are they real or are they figments? Good night, folks.
Good night or good afternoon.
Figments is a production of EdMed Art Studios and hosted by the Jedi Cole Universe. You can find us at www.jedicole.com and www.eddymedina.com. Thank you for listening, and keep searching for the unknown.